glad to have you here today. And we are looking forward to this. If you're visiting with us the first time, delighted to have you here. We're looking at a book that is by Elizabeth George on really essentially spiritual living, the fruit of the Spirit. And we have introduced that book and gone through several of the sessions already, looking at love, joy, and peace. And this morning, we're going to step back and look at the right perspective on this so that we understand the depth of what it means to have those different attributes. Now remember, a couple of things I'm going to need to mention every time. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it is the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. All of these different virtues are evident in a person's life when a Christian is yielded to the Spirit. Remember, at any given time in your life, either you are yielded to the Spirit or you are yielded to yourself, your flesh, whatever you want to call it. And the fruit of the flesh is not pretty. All the problems that we face, that's the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is in control, we then have manifest in us the life of Christ. Now, the more we are filled with the Spirit or under the control of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, whatever terms you want to use, then the more our character is strengthened, the more our mind is renewed, the more we develop habits that are right, more knowledge we have, more truth from the Word of God that we can take steps of faith. But even a new Christian can have the fruit of the Spirit right after they're saved if they're depending upon the Spirit rather than on themselves. And so it's very encouraging, no matter where you are in your Christian growth, you can have the love of God at any time if you fully are yielded to the Lord. And that is really exciting because all of us know how easily we fall into selfishness and just not functioning as we ought to function. And it's really a blessing to know if we'll just let God work in our heart and get back to trusting God instead of ourselves, God can do a beautiful work in our life. But now, instead of looking at the next aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, our author goes to looking at Jesus' attitudes. And we see those first three aspects of the fruit of the Spirit very clearly exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ. Remember, whose life is the Spirit of God showing forth in the life of a Spirit-filled Christian? The life of Jesus Christ. And so you gain much, as I mentioned last week, just looking at the life of Christ himself. Now, we need love because we are in this fallen world. Things don't go our way with people. Have you ever noticed that? People just don't do what you want them to do all the time, you know? From children, husbands really don't do what you want them to do, you know, but all of these kind of things. But then there's all the different kinds of ill treatment and different attitudes that you face. And love is the opposite of the normal reactions of protection of self, the furtherance of self. It is really genuinely desiring the best for the other person. Secondly, then joy. We looked at that. From sorrow, tribulation, tragedy, affliction, and trials, we can actually have the joy of the Lord because we know that God is working. And we're going to talk about that today. And then the peace of God. Instead of having panic, fear, terror, dread, and anxiety, we need to understand that when the Spirit of God is working, the peace that is at the throne of God is the very peace that we will have. And all this is exemplified in the Lord. And let me just say this, ladies. If there's ever a day that Christians need to get a hold of steady, Spirit-filled living, it is right now. Because I promise you, and I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but it's agreed, things are not going to be the same by the time I speak a year from now in August, okay? Internationally, nationally, things are on a powder keg. We don't know how it's going to work out. God knows that. We don't live in fear. But the point is, every one of us knows it to be true. Things cannot continue on the way they are. In fact, talking with the staff, you go from Sunday to Sunday. The next Sunday could have a totally different atmosphere at church because of what just happened internationally. Internationally right now, we've got three major powder kegs are about ready to explode. And then that's going to affect us. And we don't need to live in fear of that. That's my whole point. I bring it up not to cause you to be fearful, but to have the steadiness of walking with God and not being thrown by circumstances. Because if you're thrown by circumstances, you could really be put into a tumble in your life. And so we need to realize that Christians throughout the ages have never had it easy. And it's all about living for Christ. All right, as we think about Christ, want to just look at his whole life. And having a perspective on his attitude of life is just an amazing reality. One writer said, ever and always the teacher, Jesus, used this struggle with the enemy in the garden the night before the cross to teach the disciples and every future believer another lesson in godliness, a lesson about facing temptation and severe trial. The Lord not only was preparing himself for the cross, but also by his example, preparing his followers for the crosses he calls them to bear in his name. And so let's look at his perspective. Now, folks, this is not negative. This is freeing. This is freeing. If you get the right attitude toward your life, like Christ had toward his life, there's nothing that can throw you. Nothing that can throw you. Well, first of all, the plan. Throughout his 3 years of actual public ministry, he often referred to the plan for his death. Now, did his disciples like it when he brought that up? No, in fact, they even rebuked him. Peter did, and really all of them did. The Lord Jesus talked about his time, that it was coming, that he would be crucified, all that they would have to do. So with Christ, his whole perspective on life was his life. He had become a human being. The incarnation took place. He did not have to come. He was the Creator God. He did this, and he was going to suffer because his plan was to save you. Think about that. You know, when you read about Jesus and all that he did during the Gospels, it was you and it was me that he had in mind. There would be no hope for us. In fact, the universe would be gone by now if it wasn't for the coming of Christ. And so he went through much. I mean, the humiliation of the incarnation is beyond my ability to describe. He went through much because his plan was to die so we would live. And his purpose was that he was going to allow all of this to occur so that he could be the substitute for our sins. Now, let me just say, the highest or the greatest level of perspective on life, and what I'm talking about is genuine maturity here of thinking, but our lives are not for self-gratification and for things to go the way we want them. If we're walking with Christ, our lives are for the deliverance that he wants to have in the lives of those for whom he died. And so the plan and purpose of our life needs to be the same plan and purpose of his life. So when we go through some of the difficulties, we realize all of that is preparing us, working details so that we can have maximum impact to accomplish his purpose. And so we have an eternal purpose that ought to be the burning passion of our heart. And let me just say, ladies, when you've got that, you honestly can weather the stuff that comes. You know, the irritations, just going through life, just the things that come with everyday life. You begin to realize, you know, I got a bigger purpose than just survival. Unfortunately, many Americans today, it's survival day by day and just doing the best you can. You know, going shopping, having a decent weekend, watching this program, doing this during the summer, trying to do some summer sport. You know, I mean, it's just that's sort of the American thing. What is the American dream? That's hard to define, isn't it, in today's perspective. And but for a believer, and by the way, if that's what you want, are you going to get thrown when things with the economy crashes? Are you going to get thrown if all of a sudden security gets less and less in America? Are you going to get thrown if we realize that it's very possible that our sons are going to be heading overseas? You know, the draft is very close to being reinstated. These are just realities that we have to face. Just me mentioning it goes, you go, you know, that's just the way we feel. But if your purpose is the eternal purpose of God, I'm here at this time, God made no mistake, He knows what's going on, He has prepared me, and my life can be very effective. All that He did now is to be done through me, and I've got a very high level of purpose for my life. That changes everything. You think, okay, this difficulty, how can I be a blessing? You know, we as believers need to be ready that if there is some economic deprivation, we need to be wise and be a help to other people. Do you realize the open doors for the gospel? I'm finding to witness now is so much easier than 20 years ago because people are troubled. We have peace. We have the answer. But if we're thinking about ourselves, we're not going to see that. We're not going to get excited. We're going to get thrown. You know, honestly, this group of ladies ought not be thrown. This ought to be a group of ladies that can go right through and be a blessing to your families, be a blessing to other people, and have a quality life no matter if circumstances shift. And so as we look at Christ, we certainly see that. Think of what He had to go through. What He faced, especially during His final days. He was betrayed by one of His disciples. In fact, all of His disciples ran. Can you imagine? He was misunderstood by those closest to Him. He was rejected by all facets of culture. He had hostility and persecution. An angry mob faced Him, angry leaders, angry people, verbal and physical assault, an unjust sentence, the excruciating pain of crucifixion, death, and then above all, His dying in our place. And I'm giving you the force of this chapter. You know, hasn't it been a blessing to go for love, joy, and peace? Okay, well, we're not going to really experience that unless we understand what our life is all about. And I think it's very significant that the author placed this here, right at the strategic place in this study. And ladies, we need to realize that Jesus did not draw back from any aspect of what He would go through. From the humiliation of being a baby, the Creator God, a baby, a child, a teenager, young adult, and then His ministry. Then have His own followers not understand Him. But then when you really look at what He went through, what we call the Passion Week, when he was set to the cross, He knew on the Passover He would die. That's beyond our ability. For Him to sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane shows that He humanly was under the most extreme pressure that a person could ever be under. Why? Because He knew exactly what He was going to face. And it wasn't, and make no mistake about it, ladies, it wasn't the beatings that He was going to face. Though that was very real. It hurt Him more than us because He was perfect. It wasn't going to be having been spit upon. The crown of thorns thrust on His head and going into His head. It's just amazing. And it wasn't going to be being shoved around and having that heavy cross thrust upon them. All of that, of course, did cause Him to be under great pressure. But the thing that we need to understand is He was so committed out of love for us and to the will of the Father that He was willing to go to the cross and actually be the substitute for our sins. a holy God who does not even think sin, have any motive of sin, would actually be identified with my sin and your sin. That's just, I don't have words to describe what that meant. That's why he sweat great drops of blood in the midst of all of his suffering. And then the perfect unity of the Trinity was broken because God the Father had to judge God the Son. I can't even explain it. All I know is when he screamed, and that's exactly what it says on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His agony was the agony of being rejected by the Father, which is the essence of hell. He literally paid the pain of hell for you and for me, and he was cut off from the Father for 3 hours. Now, again, I can't even explain in doctrinal terms or anything else exactly the depth of what that is. But he went through it. And then he died, and then he rose again in victory. I'm telling you, when we all see him on the throne with those scars, he'll be the only one with wounds in all of heaven. All the rest of us will be perfect in our glorified state if we're Christians. But when we see him, it's going to overwhelm us to realize that he took for us what we deserve. Now, she does lay that out here in this passage. I, of course, expanded on it a little bit more. But the reason we need to take time on this is that you cannot experience the fruit of the Spirit if you have a paradigm of selfishness. If you have a paradigm of your own agenda, if you have a paradigm of what you think you deserve. And listen, every one of us fight it. It's the essence of who we are naturally, right? I mean, you took care of yourself this morning. You know, we were aware of ourselves each step of the way. That's natural. We have to have self-awareness. That's part of existence, but it's also part of our fallen nature. It gets warped and out of place. And so if we have a paradigm of looking at life from what it can do for us, we will not be in the Spirit very much. And we will be thrown by circumstances as they come. I mean, we will tumble, I'll tell you. But if our paradigm, by the grace of God, is, Lord, I'm so far from it, but I want to serve you. I want you to accomplish through me. I am the way that you're reaching the world, and I want to have that heart, and I want to have your love, and I want to follow your plan. That kind of person who keeps spending time with the Lord is yielding themselves as a person that's going to be very sensitive to yielding to the Spirit, and they're going to experience the fruit of the Spirit. And they're going to be able to have victory on a regular basis over self. Love will be there when you get unjustly treated because it's not about you. You'll have joy when you would have normally had sadness and heaviness because it's not about you. You're sad about the circumstances, but you got the joy of the Lord because you have a purpose that's greater than that lower purpose. And then when circumstances aren't working out, it's okay. You've got the peace of God because you have a God that's taking everything, working it to good. He's sovereign. He's putting all the pieces together. You can fully trust him. And it's all working to make you a much more effective servant of the Lord. So I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that the fruit of the Spirit is something that ought to be 24/7 in our lives. You ought to be known as having the love of Christ on a regular basis. We need to be known as having the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. Those are wonderful things. But if we have a paradigm of self, I'm telling you, it's going to get short-circuited, because our whole perspective, our whole plan, our purpose of life is just not where it ought to be. But that's why Jesus could say, for the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross. He actually had joy in the Passion Week. Why? Because he saw you sitting here today. Because of him. And he had the joy of knowing he was pleasing the Father. And that he was going to fulfill the mission that the Father had given to him. That they had decided on before the creation of mankind. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. So that was the paradigm. And so he was able then to affect those around him. And he went through an unbelievable suffering for us. So God wants, just like Christ came through triumphant, everything we face and when we're in the will of God will cause us to come through triumphant. Every trial you face, God will use. Every situation you go through, God will use. Every physical problem you have, God will use. Every disappointment, God will use. Every opportunity, God will use. Every international situation that happens, God will use. We don't have to worry. God will take care of us because we need to grow. We need to be more like Him. We need to have His life. The great mystery of the ages, as Colossians 1:27 says, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ, the way He is seen in the world today, is not through angels. It's not through any other way but through you and through me. And when we understand that, man, that's a great privilege. We can't wait to see Christ. Well, Christ is here right now. And the very face of Jesus, as 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, should be in us, and we ought to reflect Him. That ought to be our paradigm. So the fruit of the Spirit is producing Jesus' love, Jesus' joy, Jesus' peace, and then we'll look at long-suffering and His gentleness, His goodness, His meekness. All of those things are the reality of Jesus. Do you realize what would happen if the believers in America today really lived Jesus? We wouldn't be the country we are today. You've heard me say it 100 times. Don't blame the world for the mess we're in. Without being negative, we've got to look back at ourselves. It's because the world doesn't see Jesus. It does, but not like it should. And so that ought to be the challenge. So love then will be a sacrifice of self for others. Joy will be a sacrifice of praise to the Lord and not about yourself. Peace is a sacrifice of trust in that you are trusting Him and not looking at circumstances or other people. And so it's that paradigm shift of living for Him versus trying to be a good Christian, but it's in essence still about you having a good life. You can get that paradigm switched, then love, joy, and peace can be a very, very common occurrence. Divine love, joy, and peace can be a very common occurrence in our lives. Now, let me say Christ's victory over self, of course it was perfect victory, and following through on everything, did it produce anything important? Wow. It's just no way to even start to explain all that we have. Every blessing you have is because of Jesus. Every bit of peace you've ever had is because of Jesus. As a believer, if you're here and you know Christ, everything about looking at the future and knowing you're headed to heaven and knowing He cares about you, it's all because of Jesus. The world is still here because of Jesus. God is working today because of Jesus. And we enjoy our families because of Jesus. And we could go on and on and on. And so God wants us to understand that when we allow Him to work in us, there's a great product. It's the blessing that comes when He accomplishes His purpose. You know, each one of us needs to have as our desire that our lives just cause God to be able to bless others in a wonderful way. The fragrance of Christ ought to be there. And sometimes it means we really got to sacrifice for others, but are we willing to do it? Do we really care? And so there's a lot in this chapter that I'm just basically summarizing as we go through. But I appreciate her coming back to this matter of fully understanding that life is not about us, life is about Him. And when you get that settled, then walking in the Spirit becomes a normal reality because you understand, I can't think that way without Him. I can't live that way without Him. And then the product of that is love, joy, peace, all of the different virtues that come out of the very life of Christ. And so I do want to encourage you today to realize that you're very special to the Lord. He not only died for you so that you could have eternal life, but you are now His hands, His feet, His eyes, His mouth. You're His very life. You get to represent Him. You know, it's really an honor to represent somebody that has a high standing, you know, to be the representative, the ambassador, or the personal confidant of someone that can speak for somebody else. I've had the privilege a couple of times of being able to do that. And, you know, that's an honor. Man, you've got a really top honor. You are the representative of Jesus Christ who sits enthroned on high. This world, the only way they can get to Him is through you. In your life and your testimony, there are people that need you, and there are Christians that need the love of Christ through you. And when you get a hold of that, then you realize, I got to have the Spirit of God. I can't live for self. I can't get all boggled up in these things. And all of a sudden, love, joy, and peace just become part of your life. You know, when you're loving someone, you're going to have joy. Ever notice that? Don't you just get free of yourself when you're really sacrificing somebody? That's the happiest you ever are. And then you've got peace because you're doing what's important. It all works together. Now, listen, anything that's just weighing you down and you're struggling with and you're unhappy, it's because of self. It is never because of doing the right thing. Okay? Even through trials, there's joy because it's God that will work those trials for great good in your life. So this is a bit of a heavy-duty chapter here. Like I said, it was great to talk about peace last week, and we'll go on and talk about these other aspects of the fruit, but she comes right to the essence, the paradigm. How do we think? Is it about us, or do we want to be like Christ? Are we going to follow His example, or are we going to let ourself and our circumstances dominate us? And I'm telling you, if even trying to serve the Lord, but you've got a... it's still about the way you'd like things to be, you're not going to walk in the Spirit nearly like you would think you would. But if you constantly are a living sacrifice, like Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ. When you just simply say, Lord, you got to help me. We're naturally selfish. Lord, I want deliverance. I really want to be your representative. Lord, help me. He will. And when you have that paradigm, you're going to find yourself being filled with the Spirit and having love, which will bring you joy, which will bring you peace. And you talk about quality of life. I mean, it's just good. You understand the blessings of God. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord Jesus, I don't know what word to say without being irreverent, but He's absolutely thrilled that He did what He did. Because of you're going to be with Him forever if you're saved. If you're not saved, you need to get that matter settled today so that you're a child of God. But it's a wonderful thing, and He's thrilled. And I'm telling you, anytime your life touches another life, one way or the other, you have a deeper joy than you can have having things given to you or whatever. It is the greatest joy in the world to be used of God. So anyway, let's talk about that today. To be like Christ is really should be the thrust of our lives.